Simin Shin Chof Ches. Siv Chof Ches through Lamed Zayin Bezer Hashem Yisbarach. The Mechaber says in Siv Chof Ches, Hamafis Shchin B'Shabbos Dil Harcha Pi Amako Kederach Sharif Moisim Shem Niskavenim B'Rafu Al Harcha Pi Amako Hari Zechayiv Mishumaka B'Patish Shizuhim Alecha Sharif Mifiz Kedim Lohitim Yemenu Alecha Shabbo Hari Zemotor. Shaykh to do lachur the pashas is mashmois of Gemara is until you get maybe to the Rav Magi and maybe the mashmois of Rashi is that you're doing the same ma'aseh depending on why you're doing it, whether or not it's achiv skila or whether or not it's with lechat skila, which generally you don't have that. It's either going to be asu midaraisa or midarabanan, but here that should be either asu midaraisa or mutar lechat skila that generally you do not have. What's the reason why it's mutar? Says the Gemara, the Pasha says it's going in fear of Shimon. Malach Hashem Yitzricha Legufa is only Asumi Darabanan. Mokum Tzara Legaz Darabanan. The Shaila is, how does this stem with everything that we've seen in the past? Sif Yud Zayin said that for a Chir L'Shein Bay Sakana, which somebody that has this pimple, this blister, that he's trying to, this mursa that he's trying to pop, is Lechara not a Chir L'Shein Bay Sakana. And it's not a Sakana Saver. If that's the case, we only find the Chazal Matar, the way that we pass like the Ramban, the third Shita, we only find the Chazal Matar the Rabbanans kill Achar Yad. We never found that they mattered the raitas that are done by Al-Malach Shein Yitzchak Gufa. That turns into the Rabbanan Malach Shein Yitzchak Gufa. We never found that they mattered one the Rabbanan straight up. They only mattered the Rabbanans that are done by Shinoi. It was the Vasepis that is put over here. Or Befrat, if what we saw in Simin Reish Ayin Ches, that Malach Shein Yitzchak Gufa is common than all the rest of the Rabbanans. And the Biralach says in Reish Ayin Ches that even though we matter the Rabbanans for Chel Hashem Esakana, which B'mai Mar Muzgir, it's a little bit schwer, but he says we only matter the Rabbanans B'Shinui. But he bavarns. Chel Hashem Esakana. Here? No, it's not even a Chel Hashem Esakana. It's not even. The best possible scenario is that he'll be a Chel Hashem Esakana. Chel Mokum Tzara, maybe Chazal give a din of a Tzara like a Chel Hashem Esakana. We saw in Reish Ayin Ches, the Biralach bavarns, he says, Vos Epis that they only matter you to put out a fire. So that somebody that's a chelashi yesh by sakana is allowed to be able to go to sleep. L'chare they should matter also for a chelashi yesh by sakana. Ki beiser kiviya avdi him alach hashem yitzich legufa mikol makom b'nei shi yikrei v'moyed l'teter l'rotz l'hakol bov v'shel z'pim v'godom d'lahachi asur b'gemara afler v'shim r'chare l'shem yin by sakana v'shash shpusim kamelon d'mutel yisrael l'chal af b'chare l'shem by sakana. He says we paskin that a Yisrael is allowed to be mechal on their abundance, allowed to be over on their abundance for Chedesh Mitzakana. So how come we can't put out a fire for Chedesh Mitzakana? They should be able to go to sleep. That's only their abundance. Malach Shein Yitzrich Legufa. Says the Bir Alacha, no, because Malach Shein Yitzrich Legufa is more chomer than some of their abundance. Kum Tais Malach Shein Yitzrich Legufa here is not even a Chedesh Mitzakana. Somebody that has this more so, and he's doing Malach Shein Yitzrich Legufa, which is much more chomer than regular abundance. Even so, we matter. Malkum Tzar. What's the pshat b'chlam? The truth is, the way that Bir Halacha learns this halacha, quoting the Taz and the Magen Avraham, that there's a difference when you're mapes morsa whether you use a kli or whether you use your yad. And if you use your yad, it's a kilachar yad, and it would be usher only midarabanan. Then kumtois over here, talk we have two darabanans. It's not a regular case. We talk we have two darabanans makom tzar. First of all, you're not doing it. It's a malach shein yitzchak legufa. You're not doing it to make a pesach. And second of all, you're doing it kilachar yad. If you have two derabanans, we can understand why Chazal would have mattered it. But mokayim tzar. The problem is that Rav Rishayim don't say that two derabanans. No one, as far as I know, we don't have any Rishayim that say lahedya that it's dafka because it's two derabanans. Moreover, the Stimus Acharim is also not that way. It's, the Taz and Magen Avraham is medayik from, but like her, the Pashas of the Mechaber is taka not that way. Pashas of the Ramah, Pashas, no one is madgish that has to be dafka ayidei ayat and not ayidei kli. And there's a stack of difference between the two of them. So what's pshat over here that it's stack of mutter? So the Achronim deal with this issue, the Prima Godim, the base mayor, they ask the question, and the Mogen Aves gives an answer, and this answer is brought down by a number of Achronim. Rishlam Zalman also quotes it in Shemir Shalman's Kafas, it's quoted from Rishlam Zalman, that there's a difference between Sif Yud Zayin and Sif Chochet. Sif Yud Zayin is talking about refuah, a person who's sick be'etzem. Somebody that's sick, Chazal said, not well, Chazal said that to do refuah, to make the person feel better, to take away the problem, that is going to be usher unless he has a din of a chel hashem b'sakana, and even that is only going to be mutter when he's doing it kalach aryat. Masha enkein, what happens if a table falls down and it falls on your toe? And it's a heavy table, and it's sitting on your toe. Are you allowed to pick up the table from your toe? You're allowed to pick up the table from your toe. Why? You're going to feel better. It hurts. It's a lot of pressure. It really hurts your toe. And as soon as you pick up the table, it's going to stop hurting so much. Why isn't that a problem of refuah? The answer is because that's not refuah. You're just taking away the problem. It's an external pain that a person has. And by removing this external pain, then in Echlami, everything feels better. Says Rosh Hashanah, says the Magen Avraham, this is the way that many of the Chachamim go, is that that's the difference between Sif Yud Zayin and Sif Chaf Ches. Sif Yud Zayin, the person is not feeling well. He has the problem internally. Then he needs refuah, he needs some type of medicine to take care of that problem. The Melech Chazal reveres more medicine, I'll show you some of them. Masha'inki, Mapis Morso, and Eitzoras Koyt, taking on a splinter, and these things, there's something external which is bothering him. The pus is filled with, the blister is filled with pus, or there's a splinter which is in the that punctured his skin, and by removing the splinter, by removing the pus, everything will feel better. Therefore, it's not really considered a fool. It's to a certain extent picking up a table from on top of the toe. Now, it's obviously not the exact same thing. We only matter of makom tzar. You're allowed to pick up a table from your toe even if you're not having any tzar. But here, there is, since it's inside of your body, lemaisa, so therefore it's daima to a certain extent of tikkun. We're going to see this inyan of being daima. There's certain halachas of sleeping against a shikr, even though the Taz says it's not considered a refuah b'chlal. Nevertheless, there's certain things you're allowed to do, certain things you're not allowed to do. It's not a refuah. Yeah, but it's still daima. There is still something that you're being merafe. You're making something feel better by extracting the thorn, the splinter, by extracting the pus. Therefore, the lemaisa chazal only matter it b'mokarim tzar. But it's different than the case of a refuah. It's not a refuah. It's a removal of an external hindrance, something which is hurting him. And therefore, it's much lighter, and any time that a person has tzar, even though it's a mafshin to the gufo, Chazal will matter it. Now, that answers the difference between here and Sif Yud Zayin, but it doesn't really answer the mafshin to the gufo of Reisha and Ches. Why can't you turn off the light? The light is also something which is external. If you have a candle which is burning and you can't fall asleep, something which is external, which is being my friend, how come you can't just put out the candle for the same reason? Turn off the tzar. So once again, the feed of Yerlach is very good. Over here we're talking about that there's two Derabbanans. And over there it's talking about only one Derabbanan. Here we're talking about it's Malach Shein Tzul Gufa Kalachar Yad. And over there it's just Malach Shein Tzul Gufa, which would mean that if you blow out the candle Kalachar Yad, you'd have a way to do that. And in Echonam, it would be Mutter L'chur. But aside from that, L'chur would not be a seer between here and there. There, maybe you can have to say that over there it's not a tsar. It's not a tsar in the body. You're right, it's something which is external. But it's mamash external, it's no shaykhis b'chlal to the gufa adam, and therefore it's much more chomer, it's more daima to a choyli than it is to a koyt and to morsa ukedema, which is something which is just an external pain, and therefore chazal more mekel, as opposed to the case of a real emes choyli, or the case of something which is totally external, which is mamash not shaykh to the gufa adam, which chazal would give the same din as a choyli, and therefore Chazal were more machmer, and the only time that they mattered it is for a choyli sheish bo yisakana, not for a choyli sheim bo yisakana. Agav, l'chur, the common application of this halacha is popping pimples, which is mutter on Shabbos, l'chur, according to this, as long as you're not squeezing the pimple, like the Mishnah Berurah says, squeezing the pimple more to extract more blood, which is inside. It's just you're popping it. You're making a hole, and then whatever comes out by itself, that's not a problem. However, if you to press on the skin and to extract more pus or more blood, that taka could be a chash of a whole pus of the rabbanon, possibly a deraisa, depending on how you understand what? Of extracting more blood out of that's not mifkid pukin, that's from the body. If it would be just pus, possibly it would be okay. Mishabur says dafka in case of blood would be a problem chabur. Pus, I don't know if that has a din of malikat lakulu, malikat lakulu. It's not ki adamu anefesh. The chur can then be mutter. That's a din of tzara. If the chur doesn't have any shaykhs to the sickness, then it still wouldn't be mutter. The only mutter things that are shaykhs to that sickness, the fact that he's sick, or he has a headache, whatever it is, migraine headache, is not going to mutter into papa pimple. Now, this will not matter to pop a blackhead on Shabbos, l'chura. The only time that we understand that, first of all, if you understand that a blackhead is... Befan, if you understand that a blackhead, the derech is to pop a blackhead, a zit, one of those blackhead pimples with your hand, then for sure, lacher should be a problem according to what the Be'er Halacha says. The only reason why you master it is because kolacharyan. In such a case, it wouldn't be considered kolacharyan. But even without that, Chazal only mastered it to make a hole in a case where there's tzar. Malacha shinitrich legufo, Chazal mastered b'mochim tzar. But to make a Pesach when it's not b'mochim tzar, there, lechor, we do not have a heter, and we would not be able to pop a pimple. However, those pimples that are painful, because there's the pus, there's no problem to be able to pop that on Shabbos. Now, what do you do exactly with regard to, well, if you want to use a needle, how would you use it? You can't really sterilize it on Shabbos. So if you have one sterilized before Shabbos, that's terrific. But to put it on in a fire on Shabbos is b'pashtus problematic. And therefore, the best thing to do is just maybe pour a little bit of alcohol or something else on top of it, and that will sterilize it enough for popping the pimple, and then you can proceed with popping the pimple. That's with regard to Mappas Mursa. The same halacha really applies to Tzoros HaKreis, to take out a splinter on Shabbos. Now, if the person is being mitzdar, there's no problem, Pashas is, there's no problem to remove a splinter on Shabbos at all. If he doesn't have to pop anything, then what's the problem to take out a splinter? The chiddush over here is that if a person is mitzdar, even if it's going to be a psik reisha, the dam is going to come out. Nevertheless, since you don't need the dam to come out, and it's a malach shenitzrich l'gufo, therefore, b'malachim tzara lo yichmir rabban. L'chatchila, if you could get out the splinter without getting blood out, says Mishnah Berurah, Mishnah Magen Avraham, then you have to do that. You don't master it straight up. But if you don't have a way to get out the splinter except by getting causing it to bleed, then it's a malach shenitzrich l'gufo, b'malachim tzara lo yichmir rabban.
We don't tzara as physical pain?
We don't tzar as physical pain. Generally, tzar is defined as physical pain. There are certain cases that we discussed last month that emotional pain might also be included in that. Shlomo Zalman does not, for the most part, does not pashtus, except for we brought that into Mishnah Berurah. But for the most part, the way that the Shmir Shabbos Kechasa brings down Shlomo Zalman is that emotional pain does not have the regular halachas of tzar. That which would mean that even if a person's house is burning down, he has a tremendous amount of pain, we still wouldn't allow you to put out the fire, which is Shlomo Zalman's right, even though some watching
the
book.
We were dying at the we were drawing down fire earlier. No?
Because he can't sleep. Because he can't sleep, so therefore it's painful to his body. He's not gonna be able to have a report. But not because emotionally he's not enough. Now I saw the Pesach Teshuva mentioned something interesting. He said that if you have to pop the skin to be able to, you have to make a hole in the skin to be able to get out a splinter. So he says, lechor, that's mutter also, to be able to get out the splinter, because it's no different than mappas morsa. In the same way, you're not, it's only lo yitzah sakrit, you're not trying to make a pesah. That would be mutter to make a little hole in the skin to be able to get out the splinter. However, what he does say is that you should try not to rip off any part of the skin. That you're getting ready to problems of gazes. And therefore, sometimes you have to pull back the skin a little bit to be able to get out the splinter. So really, you should try not to pull out the skin, because that's a problem with bases. It could be that it's a malach hashenit zrich l'gufa. Once again, he does mention one of the R's over there, lecher b'malcham tzerech gom, you'll be able to make all that also. Because at the end of the day, the gazes, the reason why you're cutting it off is a malach hashenit zrich l'gufa. I don't need this off b'etzem, I just have to get to something which is underneath it. I'm not trying to get it off because I need it off. I'm trying to get to what's underneath it. Therefore, pashas is a malach hashenit zrich l'gufa, b'malcham tzerech hikilu. So really, anybody can, you could basically do whatever you need to be able to get out the splinter on Shabbat. I think I did see in one sefer that it's possible that if a splinter is underneath the finger, if it's a, it goes mamish deep underneath the fingernail, then there's a possibility for it to be a chashash or pikuach nefesh, sakana nefashit, and one should do whatever he could to prevent such a situation. Had it on Shabbos. You have to be, always be careful what you say, because I once mentioned to my kids, I said that you can't be careful with locking other people into the room on Shabbos, kids, because it really could be a chashash b'kuach nefesh. This week, I was my children with a bunch of cousins, and they were playing hide and seek, and four kids together locked themselves in a little room, in like a little like marpeset shirut sort of where they have it was a see-through, you're able to see, but they closed the door and they couldn't open the door. So my daughter panicked because it's Sashka Girl's Nemesis. Once they panicked, all the kids inside start panicking. Quickly call to find out what's going on. So you always have to just be careful. Say, generally it's not a problem, but if it ever happens, don't worry, just call me right away. You have to know where to, how to walk the tightrope. Now, just the Metzias over here, with the Bir Halacha brings down, the Mishabur brings down, spoke to a number of people about this, the Gudas, so just want to be Mavara. Mishabur says that there's such a thing that they have, I don't know what the Metzias is, but they had some sort of opening in the elbow, that if a person has pus and other types of things that are coming out of his body, so they leave an opening for it to drain out. And sometimes it starts closing up, and you want to stick something inside that it should remain open. Says the Mishnah Berurah, that's only going to be mutter in the case where you're not opening it up any further. If it starts closing, to stick something inside to prevent it from closing all the way, l'chur, that's just preventative, you haven't done anything. However, where it starts closing and you want to open it a little bit more, there you're making a Pesach, any bit that you're marchiv the Pesach, then that's ke'ilu, you're making more of a Pesach, and that's the iser of the Siyas Pesach, and your kavan over there, he says, is both lachmas to lahitzi, and therefore to be a chash, you want it to remain open, you want it to be mamsh, a proper Pesach, and therefore it would be usher to do that on Shabbos. In other words, the iser that were this aftura that the Berlach of the Magen Avraham, the Mishnah Berurah mentioned, is talking about where you're opening the opening more than it's open now. That's what could be possibly your problem. But to just put something inside to prevent it from closing, there's no issa whatsoever, which would mean the different examples that were given, for example, sticking something into an ear to prevent the ear from closing, the hole in the ear, the earring hole from closing. These things are not going to be any type of reform, any type of issa b'chlal. It's just preventative. You haven't done anything. It's only when you're opening it more, there's something what to talk about b'chlal, that it should be a problem. That's sif tes. Sif chokhes. Sif chokhes. Misha nok v'yada iragli tim tebi ayin kedei lahamad adam avaloi b'chemitz neishu chazik yish b'mishmur fuwa. V'mu mu'unog af ayin loi kemoi achemitz v'asur. The halacha is, if somebody's bleeding, he's allowed to stop the bleeding. However, he's not allowed to stop the bleeding with something, obviously we're talking about a case which is not pikuach nefesh. Any time where there's bleeding that a person has trouble stopping the bleeding, then it's always a chashash of pikuach nefesh. They should take immediate action. If you cannot stop the bleeding by exerting pressure on it, picking up the limb, whatever it is, higher than the heart, whatever, then a person should call for help immediately. However, in a case where it's just, he got caught somewhere and he needs to stop the bleeding, the halacha is he's allowed to stop the bleeding, he's allowed to stick it into whatever needs to stop the bleeding, he's allowed to put something on top of it to stop the bleeding. However, we'll see exactly what you're allowed to use the chatchila later on in the siman. However, you should not stop the bleeding, says the mechaber, with something which also could be merapeh, which has the achilis to have medicinal qualities, and it can it also works as a refuah, should not be used on Shabbos, since we're not talking about a chayla sheyesh beis hakana. Now the mashmoy says, even though your kavana over here is to stop the bleeding, but if it also helps yesh bei mishum refuah, then it's a problem. Which would mean, this is a little bit of a nekud in the paiskim, Mishlam Zalman, Shmishav Shalasa seems to bring down from Mishlam Zalman, that to use iodine to stop the bleeding would not be a problem, because your ikar kavanah when you're pouring it on top of the cut is to stop the bleeding, even though iodine also helps be merapeh, since that's not why the person's using it, he's only using it to try to stop the bleeding, therefore there's no problem to use it. And l'chur, the pashat mashmoit of the sif is takanat that way. The mashmoit of the sif is that you should not be using something to stop the bleeding. Don't stick the cut into vinegar or to something which is sharp, because it also helps the refuah, which means that even though your kavanah is not for that, but nevertheless, since it helps, therefore it's a problem. You could say that maybe in a chanami, that's what his kavanah is, but the Mishnah Berurah is not so much like that. Kol darish u'chazik tas kosh lebesari, but same as a merapeh. It's merapeh, and therefore one shouldn't use it because it's merapeh. The truth is, I saw in the Aruch HaShabbos that Yitaka brings down this shiloh, and he brings down Rosh Hashanah. And he says, the it should be, I don't know if he has Lehedi from here. He says, Rabbi Yasha said that it's Aser. He brings down that for this reason, since Lamai says Merapeh, it's Taka Aser. Because Chazal only mattered, if we're not talking about a Chernish Yish Bei Sakana, Chazal only mattered to do things that are not Merapeh. However, if the reason why you're using it is for A, and it's also Merapeh, then the Pashas Mashmoyis Lechur would be, that would be Aser. Which would mean, we were talking about a bunch of the Vicks, inhalers, and all types of things like that. That they have these menthol inhalers that you're able to, nasal inhalers that you inhale the smell, and it opens up the air passages of the nose. It helps the person breathe. Is that something which is asr on Shabbos or not? So the Ksetzer Shulchan already deals with this, and the Poskim seem to say that if all it does is just work like smelling salt, then it's very sharp, like smelling horseradish. Smelling horseradish, it opens up your airways and it helps you breathe a little bit. In 3 minutes, it goes back to how it was. It's not a real refuah, but it's a temporary relief from the symptoms. Such a thing would not be considered a refuah, and that wouldn't be a problem. However, if they add in, which nowadays it seems, I saw in the Sefer Halacha of Refuah and Shabbos, Refuah Tzitzrol, that he says that nowadays the Vicks, these inhalers, they all have some sort of medicine that's added, that it should be able to help clear the airways. And mainly it says Tzarachin, whether or not you let it use them on Shabbos. Why is it a Tzarachin? Lechur, it's telling this machlekes of Shlomo Zalman Rav Yashiv. According to Shlomo Zalman, if your Ikka Kavan is not for that, then it's hard to say that's not a Zikr Karavan. You want to open your air passages, right? That's what you're trying to do in this case. Now, you would use it possibly even if it didn't have this medicinal quality. However, now that it has it, certainly you're happy with that. So it's not your interest in, it's not your kavana. It's hard to know whether or not it's such a problem. The mashmois would be that, at least certainly according to Yashiv, such a thing would be aser, because that's your lamaisa, that's the sif. That even if you're doing it for one thing, but if it also helps as a medicine, then one should refrain from doing it. If all he's doing is just preventative, for example, he's using, it's hard to know. We wouldn't think that chaymitz is something which has medicinal qualities. It's refuah. But something that they use just alcohol or something like that, that it's to clean, that it should prevent infection. So if it's not used, I don't know if anybody uses it as misyachas to that, there's my name, or something which is merapeh. And therefore, maybe in such a case, taka would be mutter to use alcohol to clean the, to prevent infection, to clean it. Certainly, if there's a question of infection, certainly you're allowed to use alcohol. It's not a question, because it could be a chashash of a sakana. However, I don't even know if people are misyachas bechlal to alcohol as something which is merapeh, and therefore it's just used as to sterilize the area, and therefore the chur should be mutter. However, one should not use a cotton bowl full of alcohol, because then you get the chashashes of schita. Right? You should pour the alcohol straight onto the cut. That is Sif Chof Tes. Sif Lamed talks about dislocated limbs, and the Mishnah Berurah says to be Ayin Lekaman Sif Mem Zayin. So Mitzvah Lishmai Dabri Chachomim, we will leave that for Mem Zayin. Beis Hashem. Sif Lamed Aleph. We really saw this before and also, and therefore I'm not going to go into the different akudas. However, what's Nagia, now that we learned the rest of the Simen, what's Nagia to us? The halacha, basic halacha, is that somebody that has cuticles on the side of his fingernails, also applies to fingernails also, but cuticles, he's not allowed to pull them off. Whether or not certain ones you're allowed to pull off, depending on which direction they're going, since we don't know how to pass the halacha l'maisa, therefore they're both asr because of chashash of goyim. Now, if not for that fact, that we don't know which way, which direction it is, then we remaster it. Why? Because as gezes kol achar yad, you're doing a gezes with your hands. You're pulling it off with your hands as opposed to with a kli, which is kol achar yad, and it's mutter b'makom tzar. Once again, we have a malachah shein tzrich legufo, which is mutter b'makom tzar. How does this shtim with everything that we said beforehand? That Chazal did not matter their rabbanon. They only mattered their rabbanon kol achar yad. We never mattered their aisas, which is this case, lachur. So, why do we matter in this case to pull off this? The Mishnah Berurah says, "Kimin shapir shereuben kriven li natik klushin damya hilkuf mokum tzara legazer abanim shemaisir aydei shinu dani biyoder." Shabura says over here that really we have, it's not just a kalachar yad that using your hand. It's kravim li'inotek, there's also a skiwa that's already dead. It's already, the skin is already off basically, and therefore we already look at it as if it's the way that the Bir Lacha says, tula yonik mi'aguf. It's already not getting any nutrients, it's not being fed by the body, b'chol. Therefore we already look at it as kilo as if it's off, it's like the scab that we talked about in the past. Therefore, the etzem still attached. The darabanan is going to be aser. However, there is no daraisa, and you do it to achiyan. Mainly, you have two darabanans, and therefore, it's mutter b'mokhtar. So Mela wouldn't be shver from what we saw beforehand. Sif Shlamed Beis, Achoshesh Bishinov, Lo Yiga Amea Vem Chaimit, Vyiflitam Gomeo Baleo, and Metamo Vake Darkei. Achoshesh Begrinu, Leyer Enu Beshemen, Abo Baleo Beshemen, Vnesapen Nesapen. The word Yigamea, I can't really translate for you, even though numerous people asked, what does the word Yigamea mean? It seems in the Gemara that from the beginning of the Havamin of the Gemara to the Maskenas of the Gemara switched what Yigamea means. It's not clear if it means, the Lepashat is what it means from Mashmarat Mishavur is to put it into your mouth. One should not put the vinegar or the shemen into his mouth. And then either megameh or boileh, megameh or boilet, you put it into your mouth and you spit it out, or you swish it around, or you stick, or you spit it out. Now, the Mishnah Berurah says, the halacha is, says the Mishnah Berurah, that the same thing applies also to schnapps, whiskey. One should not use yayin tzaraf if he has a toothache, which many people do that, even mizmanenu. If they're having trouble falling asleep, whatever it is, they have a toothache, then they're not going to the dentist in the middle of the night. They swish around a little bit of alcohol, and they're good to go. It really works amazing. So the Mishnah Berurah, you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Obviously, if we're talking about a cave shenayim, something which is a gum disease, we saw in the past that it's possible that teeth could be a chashash of sakanas nafashis. We're obviously not talking about such a case, and we're not even talking about a case of a chorla sheyesh b'shein b'sakana. Talking about a person that has a lot of tzar, but it's not nachal mishkav. It hurts a lot. His tooth hurts him a lot. It's not nachal mishkav. It's not chorla kugufoy. Such a case, as Mishnah Berurah, one would not be allowed to swish around the schnapps in his mouth, even if he's going to swallow it afterward. He says, b'mokim tzar gadol, you would be allowed to do that. He quotes the Chai Adam. It says that you're allowed to swish around the vinegar, you're allowed to swish around the schnapps, and then swallow it. What's the reason why? If you look at the Chai Adam inside, the Chai Adam says, because schnapps is really a food. It's not a medicine bachlal. And people look at it and it's not like a food. Therefore, even if you're doing something funny in your mouth, but as long as you're going to swallow it afterwards, it's going to be beseder, because people look at it as a food. Not only that, if you look at the Chai Adam, he says in the same line, and if you really need to, you can spit it out also. Swish around the vinegar, swish around the schnapps, and spit it out. Since it's a food, we look at it as a food. You're doing something funny with the food, but it's not a problem. The Mishnah Berurah does not bring down that second half of the Chayyadim. The Mishnah Berurah goes that if a person needs to, it really hurts him, and it's not going to help him to just put down a shot or two shots or whatever it is of schnapps, then he's allowed to swish around the schnapps inside of his mouth, and then swallow it. Now, the best idea is, if you can't drink so much schnapps, then you want to have the positive effect of it, you can dip in a little bit of challah, and then you can chew it. So you can chew it on that tooth, and therefore the challah, that's the mutter lechatchila, b'chlal. You don't have to come on to tzar gadol. Any type of tzar would be mutter to do such a thing, even though the Mishnah Berurah only matters to swish around the alcohol and swallow it if he has tzar gadol. But even if he doesn't have tzar gadol, it's a little bit of pain in his tooth, dip in a food into it, and then you can chew that food on that tooth, and hopefully it should help. Now, lechura ulai miyavaraya is a question I saw some people handle. What's the story with painkillers? Is a person allowed to take a painkiller on Shabbos? In other words, it's not a refuah. Tylenol, aspirin, ibuprofen, these things, it's pain relief. Is there any problem to take pain relief on Shabbos or not? Is that which Chazal asser only refuah, and this is not refuah? Or do we say, no, this is also similar to refuah. Making somebody feel better, that is the regular din of refuah. And Chazal asser refuah, then they also asser pain relief. There would be mashmois over here that it should be a problematic. Because I think, as far as I know, the alcohol, especially around the alcohol, it just numbs the area, but it doesn't. It provides relief from the pain, and it really works. But it doesn't take care of the problem. The person has a cavity, whatever it is, he still's got to get it fixed. And therefore, there's not very much that he's going to accomplish in the long run from this. It's not really considered a fool. All it is pain relief. Nevertheless, it's mavur over here that will be usher, if not for the fact that he has a different refinement that he's able to do it, swallow it, or whatever, but b'etzim would be usher. Kimdumani, that's how many of the Paisim go. I saw in the Sefer Fuz Yisrael that's no difference between pain relief And any other type of refuah, taking a Tylenol on Shabbos would also be asur al shikas gzeira shikas amanim, unless he's a chayla she'im by sakana, and therefore we matter taking medicine, like we'll see in Sif Lamed Zayin. Sif Lamed Gimel. We also saw this halacha. Goyneach muter linik cholav mi'a behemah. The welcome to the Gazer Rabbanon. Yishim shemin lo yel asar shal rov muter linik mi'a behemah b'shabbat. Somebody who has heart pains, Goyneach, he has problems with his heart, he's allowed to drink straight from an animal, even though the chayrut should be asur. It's asur to milk an animal midaraisa of mafarik. Nevertheless, if he's doing it kalachar yad, he's drinking straight from the animal, it's kalachar yad, and they muttered it b'mokim tzara. Now the pashas mashmois is that it's one derabanan b'mokim tzara ikilu. The shayla is over here. Also, why did they mutter it? Lachar over here, it's a refuah, and they muttered one derabanan. We know that we always need a derabanan b'shinui. Here we have a deraisa b'shinui, but we don't have a derabanan b'shinui. That's the mashmois of Shabura. Shabura says the reason why they matered it, he bavarns it sort of. He says, even though after kamelan b'chol chayle shem esakano ermel l'goyi b'arisa, ha'chashani derafur shaloi linik be'atzmoi. What could you do? It's really around that, does it? What could you do? You can't ask the guy why the guy can't milk the animal and aim it into his mouth, that I'm not sure. Or into a cup and he'll drink it, even if it has to go straight into his mouth. He can aim it into his mouth, that I don't know why, he can't do that. It has to be dafka that he puts his mouth on the animal itself. But it seems that you can't use the guy over here, and therefore since you can't use the guy, so there's nothing that you could do, and the yid has to do it. Lamaisa, we don't matter the rabbanim straight up just because of chayla. So, if you learn, like certain Rishonim learn, that over here, like the Ramban learns, that there is no mefarik midaraisa by an animal. The only time we have mefarik, threshing, dosh, threshing, is dafka by gedulei karka. But by an animal, it doesn't have a din of gedulei karka. Therefore, extracting the milk from an animal will only be also midarabanan, and here you're doing klach ryan through the rabbanan. However, for the Mishnah Berurah, it's not much like that. The Mishnah Berurah seems to say there is midaraisa. He says, not seems to say, he does say, aftekah chalivas behemahu midaraisa, not like the Ramban. And therefore, it's not clear why the Mishnah Berurah holds over here it's going to be mutter. The truth is, the Mishnah Berurah is misyachas in this question elsewhere. In Siman Tav Tzadivov, in the Sharatim, the Mishnah Berurah is misyachas to this, and he says the reason why it's mutter is because it's a shinui gadol. It's so far off from mefarik that we don't even look at it as a wonder abana. It's like a shinui gomer, and therefore we matter it. Why is it that way? The chur that's far is because we look at it as a ma'is of shtiyum. You're drinking. It's the same way that a baby is allowed to nurse, and we don't say that's mafarik, so too, you're allowed to drink from an animal. It's a little bit weird. It's not the normal infant, but it's not. You can't say that it's a mafarik. You're not extracting anything, you don't have anything. It goes straight from the animal into the person's body, into his mouth. Therefore, we don't look at a bakhlal as a ma'is of mafarik, we look at it as a ma'is of achila, and therefore, it's going to be mutter. Now, we're only going to matter b'chol tzar. Obviously, it's not straight up mutter. It's still, to a certain extent, we look at it as a ma'is of mafarik. However, it's so far off, it's so much of a shinui, says Mishnah Berurah, that it's not like a regular darabanan. It's much more of a shinui than a regular darabanan. That's why we matter b'chol tzar. That is not like the Mishnah Berurah says by us. I don't know what to do about that. But he is misyachas to this question that it's difficult, and that is his answer. Sif Lamed Daled, the Lo Yitzeik Al Isha Cholam Yidadeh L'Seich HaKoyis L'Seich HaKedeir V'Tanek HaZbeno. We mentioned this in the past. If a woman is suffering from too much milk, then she is not allowed to relieve herself by taking out some of the milk by hand, or for any other reason why she wanted to take out the milk to put into a bottle so somebody else could feed the baby. That would all be Aser, and the Pashas is that that's Aser Midaraisa. Here's the Shabbos, because maybe it's Midarabanan. But the way that the Mishnah Berurah goes is that it's Aser Midaraisa. Now, we saw in Siman Shin Lamed, saw this man in Siman Shin Lamed, that there is a way to get out of it. When you do it li'ibud, it's not a problem. In other words, a woman who's suffering, she doesn't want the milk. She wants to get rid of the milk. In such a case, she's allowed to express the milk straight onto the floor, or into the sink, or into a cup that has soap, or even into a cup that doesn't have soap if she dumps it out at frequent intervals that there's not so much milk inside, there's only a little bit of milk inside. The best thing is not to do that. The best thing is to do it into an iPhone where it goes straight into the garbage, into a dirty cup, onto the floor, ukadema. What's the reason why it's mutter? So Mishnah Berurah says,
Aim the derech mefarik, kimi cherech liibud, v'oi davim lofa shinzuk leguva the potter, v'mishum tarik, leigazirnik me'mapas morsa. He's madame at the mapas morsa, that it's like a lofa shinzuk leguva, a bong tar leigazu. We said that we don't matter lofa shinzuk leguva straight up. Welcome, Sarah. So we give different answers. The truth is that over here, Mishmur says also that there's really two derabbanans, it seems to say. That it's, we mentioned this in the past, that it's not, ain't the kederach mafarik, kim shaykh liibud. First of all, it's going to ibud. When you're mafarik, when you thresh, when you extract one thing from something else, you're usually doing it to be able to retain that which you're extracting. Here, it's going straight into the garbage. Mamilo, it's not a normal thing. Second of all, it's malach shaykh liibufa. The reason why you're doing it, I don't know whether or not the exact same thing, but. It's also malach shenitzich legufa. Therefore, you really have two derabbanans over here. B'mokom tzairo loy gozer rabbanan. Mitzachin, you could also say you don't need two derabbanans. You can say it's just something external. It's no different than pus. She has too much milk, and you're expressing the milk the same way that she has pus inside of the thing, which is pressuring it, and you're expressing the. You're getting rid of the pus that it shouldn't hurt. Only help for a four, one help for a five. We don't know that you have that club in a five. Could be the tematic. Could be the tematic, unless she's going to go from inside. The problem is that we see when it gets to a four, they're going to be. That's really the problem. How do we know that they didn't matter? Huh? They're a bunner, welcome to Sarah.
Welcome to Sarah, simply like not matter.
So you have to come on to say that it's two derabbanans. You have to come on to say that it's two derabbanans. Eh? Very good. You have to say, like the Mishnah Berurah, like we were saying beforehand, that it's two derabbanans. It's shloi kederech mefarik because it's halach liibud, and it's lashon it's gufa mamutar because derabbanan. Sif lamed hei mutar li shalakalech me'acholav kedei shiyuch ezatinoik hadar v'inoik aval osir lahatiz michal b'mishu nosher b'ruach ro z'les poi sakana. Somebody that has ruach ro, anyone who wants to spritz some milk on top of him, somehow that's supposed to help. One is not allowed to do it, z'les poi sakana. Says Mishnah Berurah, v'tzari yaseiro nami lech l'shom alav ha'chisharet b'loch shenitzich l'gufin. He says there's also not too much tzar, because if there was tzar, then we matter it because it's b'loch shenitzich l'gufa. Now, why it's malach shenitzich legufa is not clear at all. Lachari, you want to use the milk, as we discussed in the past. The Sharatzin quotes the Tzitzis Shabbos, the Tzitzis Shabbos that asked this question. But Bechlal, what's pshat in it? According to our siman, that we don't matter malach shenitzich legufa as malcham tzar, Lachari, why over here would we matter? He says there's not so much tzar, so therefore we matter. Now, why would we matter malach shenitzich legufa if there's tzar, okay, we don't matter much in this mukum tzar. So as mafarik, we can say that it's mafarik is going liibud. Yishlayin, you're using it, you're not using it. Al tzufur, you could say, maybe you could say like we were saying beforehand. But it's also something which is external. I don't know what a ruach ra, what then does a ruach ra have? It's a chayli, something external, it's more similar to a chayli, it's more similar to a splinter. Not exactly clear. But if it's more similar to something external, ruach ra is something which is external, then in a chanami, maybe there'll be mokad v'meko, then mokarim tzar. Okay. Sif lamed vav. Ein lo yasin matztichi. That's really, we really discussed those sifim beforehand. Just what's negeta. Ein lo yasin matztichi, which is where matztichi comes from. You cannot choose. You cannot chew matztichi, which is some type of sap, which now we call it gum. V'lo yishavim v'yishi naim l'rafua. Here, so the Mishnah Berurah says, "Leishofin b'sam hashinayim nerfua v'mishmerech al peh motar." You're allowed to, you're not allowed to chew gum or smear some sort of sam on the teeth al serfua. But if the only problem is to get rid of bad breath, then that's not a problem. In other words, lachar there's no problem to use mouthwash on Shabbos, even though it gets rid of bad breath. Nevertheless, there's no problem. The only thing is, what happens if it's the mouthwash has? First of all mouthwash generally also kills. I think there are certain types of mouthwash that maybe do not kill bacteria. Just all it does is damage control. It just covers over the bad smell. Even though some say that you shouldn't add. Okay, well, we'll leave that. I mean, I don't get that. There wouldn't be a problem to use mouthwash on Shabbos. Now, what happens if the mouthwash? Listerine. or some other type of mouthwash that also kills bacteria, is supposed to help. Is that considered something which is a refuah or not? So Sofer Shemir Berkowitz said, he says, no, that's Michael Bream. That's all Bream uses. It's not something that a person that's sick, b'chlal, people that aren't mitziachas to the bacteria also has a sickness. Not something. It's Michael Bream, it's Derech Bream. It's something that everybody does on a regular basis. Many people do. Enough people do that it's considered Michael Bream, Derech Bream. And therefore, it's not a problem to do it on Shabbos. If yeah, so maybe that would be for sure. But over here, we're saying that even if you would say that that is your kavana, we don't look at that as a chrizi. They do have certain types of mouthwash that sometimes the dentist prescribes that has extra fluoride or extra something because the person's having a problem with their gums or their teeth or whatever it is. In those cases, in Echanami, one should not use that on Shabbos because that he's using as a refuah. That's not for bad breath. The same with types of gum. They have gum that has inside fluoride, other types of things that the dentist will suggest that a person should use to strengthen his teeth, to strengthen his gums. These things should not be used on Shabbos because that he's taka using for refuah. But a regular standard mouthwash in Echanami is not a problem. Similarly, anything which is really to take care of bad smell on the body was also not a problem to spray deodorant or powder, to put powder onto sweaty parts of a person's body, his feet or whatever it is. Such a thing would not be a problem to spray Shabbos Kekosna because all it's doing is absorbing the sweat. That's not a refuah b'chlal. However, to use powder, medicated powder, then in Echanami, that would be a problem on Shabbos unless you get to the darga of a chodesh yesh b'sakana. Then it would be mutter. But aside from that, one should not use it, but to use regular baking powder or talc or whatever it is, baby powder, or whatever it is that he's using to absorb the sweat, to absorb this, that's not a problem, even though it's getting rid of a bad smell. Mishum reich hapeh, or reich any other type of the body, that's not a refuah, that's not a problem. Sif lamed zayin. Michael Bream. Kol eichlon umashkim shehem Michael Bream. Mutter la eichlon v'leshteis mafi shehem kashan ektas Bream. Or dvarim. Umuch mils lefu avid afilu hafi shari. V'chein shehenu eichlon umashkim Bream. Otsa la eichlon v'leshteis lefu. V'dafka mishi yish la mechesh ba'almu. V'mizchaz agar lekabari. Avil me'in leishu mechesh mutter. Michael Bream is mutter for everybody. No matter what the scenario is. Even if he's doing the hedin for a fuah, nevertheless it's mutter. Something which is not the derech of Bream to eat it. Then that's only mutter if he's totally healthy. If he's not totally healthy, he has a mechash ba'alma, then it's a problem. Says the Ramah, v'cheinim nafal mishkav shari, so too, if he's nafal mishkav, he would also have the same heter of taking these things which are not Michael Bream, and we don't have a gzera of shikas ha'mulakam. Come to us that the whole problem of taking medicine, or dvarim which are not Michael mashkim that are not derech Bream, that's only for somebody that has a mechash ba'alma. Mechesh ba'alma, he has a headache, he has a toothache, he has indigestion, heartburn, constipation, these type of things, allergies, itchy eyes, all these types of things. That's where Chazal answered it. Once he's ready to get past that and he has a migraine headache and he has all of these other things, then everything is going to be mutter. Now, the question is, how do we define what's considered Derech Bream? What's considered Michael Bream? First of all, what percentage of people have to be able to do it? Be able to be considered Michael Bream. And what happens if you yourself do it? You the person himself eats it on a regular basis, even though he's it's something maybe most people don't eat. But this person himself does eat it when he's a bar, and now he's not feeling well. Would he be able to consider that as Michael Bream or not? Now, the Pashas Mashmois is that it applies even when not many people eat it. Churl, eating the spleen, is yachal shinayim because of b'nei me'ayim. Most people don't eat it because even though it has positive qualities, it also has negative qualities. And therefore, why would you eat something which could help you in one thing but make other problems somewhere else? Nevertheless, let's consider Michael Bream. Why? Afilo achishari dimiko mochim oicholum. It's an oichol. Some people eat it, it's an oichol, and therefore it's considered Michael Bream. Mashmois is that even though not everybody eats it, there's enough people that eat it, still considered a food, and therefore it's not a problem. This might have enough convenience to the question that was asked this past week. What's the story with eating raw garlic? Is raw garlic considered Michael Bream or not? Eating cloves. Most people only eat garlic after it's sauteed, after it's cooked, after it's fried, after whatever it is. So, roasted. What's the story? Can you eat? Some people do it though, because it's eating garlic is supposed to be very healthy. Now, it might not be the best idea if you have a chavrusa. So maybe that's why people don't do it. I mean, it's also very sharp. So it's not lamaisa common for people to have it. However, there are people that eat it for its health qualities. Is that considered Michael Bream or not? So if you say that there's enough people that do that, as long as there are people that do it, maisa garlic is considered a food. It's not be'etzem looked at as a medicine. Not only that, a lot of people cut up garlic into a salad. They don't, it's like onions. People don't usually, we've heard that some people do, people don't usually just take an onion and bite into it like an apple. Now, it's very common though to dice up an onion and to stick it into a salad. So too with garlic. Garlic, most people don't bite into a clove of garlic. However, they will cut it up into small pieces and add it, garnish and add it into a salad. Does that make it as a Michael Bream? Or do you have to look at the food? Do you look at the food b'chalusa? Or do you look at the specific oifen of how you're eating the food? It's hard to say, well, if you dice up the garlic into 5 millimeters by 5 millimeters, so we don't have a problem with seichen, so then that's not a problem of that is considered Michael Bream. But if you put it at 7 millimeters by 7 millimeters, that's already too big, and then it's not considered Michael Bream. So the process is we should look at the food itself, and once the food is something that people eat as is, then l'chayro, it would be considered Michael Bream, Derech Bream, and it should be mutter to eat it. The only thing is, if that's the case, then what's the difference between Michael Bream and something which is not Michael Bream? What's made the column? The Gemara, the Mishnah talks about two different things in Kuf Tesim and Beis. There's Michael Bream, that's mutter across the board, always, and then there's made the column, which is not mutter if the guy is a mechush, but it is mutter, the smoke, the guy's totally healthy and he's drinking it. What are we talking about? Something which is mamish not ra'i l'achilu? Or something which is mamish not... The way that I look at made the column, maybe it's not that way, is... Unless this is something which is mamish not l'reform. The nachmin would be, what's the story with prune juice? What is prune juice? What gather does that fall into? Is that Michael Bream? Or is that something which is generally only ingested when a person is having stomach issues? Do you know people that drink prune juice on a regular basis? Yes, we do. Okay, there you have it. We know people that do. Therefore, it's considered Michael Bream. I mentioned the story of it. I just think it brings out the nekuda. So, maybe it's a funny story, but it's a true story. I know somebody that went once in a store in America. And he came to the counter with, all he had was a container of prune juice. That's the only thing that he was buying in the supermarket. And the checkout lady said to him, maybe you want to take a magazine with that also. What am I bringing out from here? That the way that people are misyachis to prune juice is for its laxative qualities. And therefore, the shad is, if that's the way that people look at it, if that's the way that people are being misyachis to it, then what halachic status do we give that? Is that made the kolim? And in a chanami, somebody that is a mechush ba'alma is taka aser to have that? Or do we say no? It's considered my chabriyah. So the truth is that the Paiskim do say, the mechabri is ma'nenu, bring down, that I don't think anybody, I didn't see anybody that answered it, that prune juice, and they say that anybody that does is having constipation is allowed to have any high fiber foods, which is you're allowed to have bran cereals, and you're allowed to have these type of things, and you're allowed to have... prune juice, they all say, because these are all considered Michael Bream, and therefore it's not a problem. Even if it's not really there for people to have it, nevertheless, as long as some people do it, and that's common, as we'll mention maybe Mahemshik, maybe we'll just mention it now. So the Rosh Hashanah has been done from Obiyasha, that even if the person himself never eats it, and his friends never eat it, as long as there are the people that do eat it, that's enough. So I would think that prune juice would be considered Michael Bream, and garlic also, it's cut up in the salads, L'chari should be considered Michael Bream. It shouldn't be a problem to use on Shabbos. It's only the other things that are mentioned, the type of herbs that are mentioned in the Mishnah that Memish people don't eat on a regular made the column, that it's not the normal thing for a person to eat. It could be that a person will eat it, they drink it, you want to drink it because you're thirsty, this is what you like to drink, the standard. But Mamish, nobody eats it, that's considered made the column, and that's the problem. But anything which there's already a small percentage of people that eat it regularly, then that's considered, that's not a problem of refuah on Shabbos, and it is mutter. Now, what's included in something which is Chol She'enu Ma'achol Mashke Briyim? Also, like what Mishteit L'Refuah. Maybe something like that, L'Chor, would be Tums. Tums, they make it with flavors. It's used for indigestion and heartburn. And it's basically calcium in a pill form. And they put in flavors that just taste good. Now, there are, I think, some people that maybe do pop it when they may have to wake themselves up and they need a second candy. That's the only thing they have. I don't know what it tastes like, so I can't tell you whether or not it's geschmack. They definitely advertise that it has great taste. I don't know lemaisa whether it does or doesn't. Generally, people use it for indigestion. That's what people use it for, and therefore, to use it for mechesh ba'alma would be problematic, and therefore, it would be also to use on Shabbos. However, if a person is hungry and he likes the way that they taste and he nashes on them, l'chura it should be mutter to use one of those things on Shabbos. It wouldn't be considered as it would be considered like made the column that if you're hungry, then in echanam would be mutter. Now, a similar thing, yesh lain, would be with regard to lozenges, throat lozenges. What's the story with that? Ricola and Ludens, are those a problem at all? Now, the way that I remember when I grew up was everybody popped Ludens. Everybody, you just buy Ludens as a sucking candy. And Ricola also. Maybe Ricola was only for the people in England, Schweiz. More of it. In America, it was more common to have Ludens. But it's also because it has maybe more menthol. It has more, it's a little bit sharper than Ludens. Mamish tastes like it's a cherry candy. Everybody eats it as a candy. And L'chur, that's considered Michael Bream. And that's no problem at all to use it. I did see that the Orcha Shabbos says that you should not use a sucking candy to one of these candies to help with a sore throat. However, I thought that there was a very big finish. What then?
Stress.
What then?
Stress.
If there's certain things that a person only uses for, in other words, the throat lozenges, I think that they're used, Ludens, they advertise that it's that it helps you with the throat. Now, if there's certain things that a person only will use for a sore throat, then in a chanami. But the regular candies that they have, a lot of people like them because they're sugar-free and other thing, whatever reason they have, they're either on a diet or they don't have sugar, can't have too much sugar, whatever it is. But people like to have these second candies. It's considered Michael Bream, and if you're going to be machbet on it, then it's going to be, it comes to us that a guy that has a sore throat and he likes the second candies, he wants to have a Luden, that's going to be asur also. Because, the way that the Mishnah Berurah learned. Because the person that has a Mech Balma, even if he's taking something which is made to call him Litzmo, is going to be asur. However, I think that... If it's so expensive that you wouldn't use it as a sucking candy, then in a chanami. Okay. But a regular lozenge, throat lozenge, lachar is Michael Bream, that shouldn't be a problem to use at all. Now, what's the story with medicines for a bari? Somebody dares somebody else to take Reuven, dares Shimon to take a Tylenol on Shabbos. He's totally healthy. And he wants to do it. Is there any problem to take Tylenol on Shabbos? What's the study of Safik? Mitzad Echad, it's something which is used for a fool. So L'chur should be also. Mitzad Sheni, he's totally healthy. And he's not doing it for a fool. And then we know that anything which is not done for a fool is not a problem. Therefore, right, Litzmo, made the column which is done Litzmo, is not a problem. Is there any problem to take a Tylenol and Shabbos, ibuprofen, whatever it is, something for those that don't have Tylenol? Is there any problem to take that on Shabbos? Now, maybe we have a raya from the Taz. The Taz says in Sif Mem Aleph that somebody gets shikr. The way to sober up a guy that's I'm not sure why, but I never tried it. Maybe you try it. Do try this at home. The way to sober up a guy who's shikr is to rub in some oil into his palms and to the bottom of his feet. Says the Taz, why? Because making somebody that's shikr sober is not a problem of refuah. It's not a ma'aser refuah b'chol. Says, but don't learn from here, says the Taz, that those types of herbs that are sometimes used for refuah, and you want to put it as smelling salts by his nose, and that when it'll smell, it'll sober up, he says that you can't do. Why? Because they're sometimes used for refuah. Therefore, it's a problem. What do I care that it's sometimes used for refuah? What I'm doing now is not a ma'aser refuah b'chol. All I'm doing is sobering the guy up. So what's the difference how I'm sobering the guy up? Lamaisa, I'm doing something which is not a refuah b'chol. There should never be a problem. The mashmoit is that even when you're not doing it for refuah, but lamaisa, if it's used as a refuah, then it would be a problem. Which would mean that taking a Tylenol for a perfectly healthy person would be a problem. However, it's not so simple because clearly over there, like we'll see in those seifim, not today, because we're supposed to finish this week, is that over there it is to a certain extent considered a tikkun. We are mitzach to it as a tikkun. We are mitzach to it. It's not mamash or a fool, but it is a tikkun, and therefore it's a in between level, that it's not mamish a bari, but it's not mamish or a fool. There we master certain things, as opposed to over here, the person is totally healthy. The chura, it shouldn't be a problem to take it. And really, what it's nagea to is nagea to preventative medicine. If you want to take medicine beforehand to prevent, is there any problem for someone who's totally healthy to take something beforehand to prevent them from having indigestion, lactose intolerance, all these type of things, heartburn? Is there any problem to do that beforehand or not? Now, certainly, if he's going to, not taking the medicine is going to cause him to become a chole she'ein bo sakana. Chole she'ein bo sakana goes without saying. Chole she'ein bo sakana, still it's going to be mutter, because prevent, if he would be a chole she'ein bo sakana, he'd be allowed to take the medicine. So you're allowed to take the medicine now to prevent him from becoming a chole she'ein bo sakana. The only shaila is to prevent gemei chesh-baal. We want to take medicine that he shouldn't have problems of asthma, hay fever, whatever it is, heart indigestion, heartburn. Is that going to be mutter or not? So that we're going to get to, I hope, it's numerous things that I get to that, and I don't want to get into one without the next. Taking caffeine pills, and taking sleeping pills, and taking Ritalin, these type of things that are not really refuah, but it does help, it's preventative, it's not preventative, it's not refuah. What we find, pills that are not regular refuah, what halakhic status does that have? We're going to leave that for now. We're just going to finish with the other halakhas that we're going to get to Bari. And the other stuff we will leave for a different week. Just the last few halachas. What's the halacha of the stat we just declared, what's the halacha of a totally healthy person taking medicine, not for a fool? How about a totally healthy person taking medicine for a fool? Question is, what does that mean? So, we saw the Magen Avraham says that if a healthy person takes me, the Kohen, for a fool, then it's going to be awesome. The shell is, what does it mean that he's taking it for a fool? If he's healthy, what does it mean that he's taking it for a fool? So the Prima Gaudim understands, and the Mishnah Berurah brings it down, that he's not mamish. The Prima Gaudim actually says a little bit different. The Prima Gaudim says, Lishmur mezgah shalei yechalash, to prevent him from getting weak. The Mishnah Berurah says, lechazik, to strengthen his makeup, that his physical makeup, that he shouldn't get sick. So there says the Magen Avraham, then it's going to be usher. Even if the guy is totally healthy, but if you're doing something to strengthen his body, then it's going to be problematic. Now, Ramosha says that it can't be that we're talking about a totally healthy person. If we're talking about a totally healthy person, then it's not a mitzvah full of bichlal. It must be that he's slightly weak, and he's trying to be mechazik himself by taking the stuff, and that's where the problem comes into refuah. Therefore, says Ramesha, with regard to vitamins, he says, if a person is weak and he's taking vitamins to strengthen himself, or he has lachura, the same thing would apply. If he's lacking something, he's lacking iron, he's lacking something, then he has to take iron, take additives, ukadema, then he says that's the problem, because you're doing that as a refuah. However, if the person is totally healthy, and a lot of people, they take every day with their breakfast or with their supper, they take vitamins. Why? Because it's healthy. Take a multivitamin so that you should have all the types of all the qualities of all the different vitamins. But not because he's be'etzem sick at all, and not because he's weak. Just you wanna stay healthy. What's that? No, it's not deficient specifically. But you want to get all the qualities of vitamin C and B12 and all the different things, then omega-3 and who knows all the different things that you can have. So in such a case, a person is not deficient. But it could be that he's a little bit deficient, but that's not the reason why he's thinking to be mashlam that. A person that the doctor told him that he's deficient and therefore he has to take it, that's the problem. However, in a case where he's not deficient, just they pop pills. It's very common in America. And therefore, people pop pills. I used to take vitamin C all the time, but they give a special taste for kids. Take vitamin C, vitamin this, vitamin... Always used to have. Every day, mamash. Take it. Come home from school, you have a cooking, you have vitamin C. I don't know. But such a thing, says Ramesh, is not a problem at all. You know, it's not a problem, you let it take it. Rosh Hashanah, on the other hand, says, no. He says, if the vitamin is just a capsule form of a food, in other words, it's just concentrated, gives you the concentrated qualities of, let's say, omega-3 or something like that. So that would be l'chara mutter. if you're just eating the fish in a capsule form. However, any regular type of vitamin that aids the person in being mechazik their body, he says that would be a problem, and that would be, and like the pashas tachara of this Mishnah Berurah, mechazik mezgoy, and therefore one should refrain from doing that on Shabbos. What? Today is Michael Brim? No, so that's the question. So in America, that's the way that they're misyachas to it. It could be that it's dependent on the way that people do it. I don't know that it's so common here. In America, that's Michael, certainly it's Michael Brim. What? Michael, I don't know if it's Michael Brim also. It's not considered really a food. It's not a food, especially if you're swallowing it. It's hard to say that it's Michael Brim. So Derech Brim, which is really what Ramesh is coming to say. That's not considered a Maisa Bechlal. And that's, what?
What's the better?
What do you mean for going that? If you hold it, that's considered Michael Brim, but Rosh Hashanah wasn't being misyach to it like that. So Mechanami. So if that's the Messias Bismaneinu, Kimdumani, La Loch Lamaisa, I think that in America the Takar are make with it, and in Eretz it's all the Masmer. And I think there's another Nukuda which goes into that also, that they look at it as Rafua. In America they don't look at it as Rafua. I once heard this Tliya. They don't look at it as Rafua, and therefore they look at it as a Michael, and therefore they require that there should be a Hechsher on the vitamins also. As opposed to over here, they don't look at it as a Refua. They look at it as a Refua, they don't look at it as a Michael, and therefore they do not require that it has a standard, very many of the standard vitamins, multivitamins that they prescribe, do not have Hechsher here. As opposed to in America, we know everybody buys only Shackley or one of these types of kosher brand. Why? Because over there we look at it more as a food, it's Michael Brim, therefore it has a hechsher. As opposed to over here we look at it as a refuah, therefore it's going to be also in Shabbos, it's going to need a hechsher. What's that? So in a case where, with regard to that, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, he says, Bechlal, with regard to taking vitamins, generally, if you're taking vitamins, which are supplements, generally you can take one right before Shabbos, one right after Shabbos. Therefore, you'll get your, it doesn't have to be mamish 24 hours exactly, 00. It shouldn't be a problem. He says, if, for example, an expectant woman is told by the doctor that she has to have vitamins, she can't take them one before one after, he says, for sure, in that case, we'd be glad to take it on Shabbos. That's because, for many things, we give her a din of a chalash yem etzakana, because with regard to the fetus, with regard to the child, we're always nervous. Let me just finish the last halacha, so we'll handle that. With regard to taking a pill before a tainus, shal shudis, some people like to take before Tisha B'Av or something like that. Tisha B'Av that falls out at night, so you can't take anything beforehand. You can't take it at night. So you want to take something shal shudis? Is that a problem or not? The Rosh Shabbos brings down that you can put the pill in food before Shabbos, and then you take it on Shabbos, be ma'arvin before Shabbos. Then there's no problem of hachana, there's no problem of refuah. Now, if you still see the pill, according to Rosh Shlomo Zalman, that should be a problem, like we mentioned beforehand, because all you're doing is being masalim from it. It's like chadri chadarim. You're just being masalim from it. But if it dissolves inside, then the chera, it's not a problem at all, according to everybody. That would not be a problem, al hachana, nor al refuah. Now, just the last halacha, which we mentioned in the past, and that is the halacha of taking medicine for a chela she'im by sakana. The truth is that the Rambam over here seems to say that it's mutter. The Rambam says that so too, you're allowed to take something which is not derech brim for if he's not from the mishkav. Shari. What's the makar? They bring down Beis Yosef. Who wrote that? I don't know who wrote it. But it's Talmud Chacham certainly. Now, if you look at the Beis Yosef inside, the Beis Yosef seems to say that it's only mutter to take ayde a goy. A goy is allowed to do it for, but if not for a goy, then in a chanami, you're not allowed to take it. Why? Because you need some sort of hacker. You need some sort of... The Bach says that shot in the Beis Yosef, and not only that, he says the Ramah in Sif Lamazayin, when he says V'chein im nafal mishkav shari, obviously he means, certainly he means, not obviously, certainly he means that, although it's not obvious, but that's, you can learn out that way. That's what he means, that a guy is being meshered, that the guy is giving it to him, but in a chame, if a guy is not giving it to him, then you have no hacker. Then the Bach is matmiyan, he says, Bachal, what does it help you that a guy is going to give it to you? The Maitre, he's swallowing it, so he's not doing anything very good then. So we saw in the Bir Allah over here, the Bir Allah is still considered a hacker. Nevertheless, Allah Maitre, Mishnah Berurah does not learn that way. Mishnah Berurah learns the Ramak of Shutai. that you don't need a goy to be mishir to you. Why don't you need a goy to be mishir to you? Because over here, the whole iser is only, the only iser darabanan that we're handling over here is the iser of shchikas hamamanim. When that's the only iser darabanan that we're handling, then they were not goyzer shchikas hamamanim by chodesh im beis hakana. All of the darabanans, they were goyzer. They're still problematic. You have to do bishinim. But shchikas hamamanim, they were not goyzer. Even though in the Bir Alacha he's married to show that there's not the shita of all the rishonim, he says still we can't be moicher and those that are mekel, and that is lemaisa the way that all the peiskim's manenu bring down to be mekel v'chein amadabar to be mekel anytime that somebody is together chodeshim beisakana or he's going to become into a chodeshim beisakana, certainly he's allowed to take medicine even on Shabbos.